You're listening to Bob Burney Live. I'm your guest host this afternoon, Chris Long. I'm the president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. With us on the phone is Brian Williams from the Summit County Board of Election. We're talking about voter fraud. Brian, let's talk about Acorn, and certainly they've been involved in Summit County, Cuyahoga County. You've known about this group for the last number of years. You've had to deal with their falsified voter registration forms going back to 2004. Tell us from your perspective the problem.
I think the biggest problem that invites the bad work, if not the corrupt work, is the fact that Acorn moves through a state. They hire what I refer to as election migrant workers. They hire people, seasonal, who are not really motivated by the integrity of the process. They're not motivated Democrats or Republicans. They're motivated by the paycheck. And so in order to get the maximum pay, they get paid on their productivity. They have to meet certain volume. And so they go around the community and they say, hey, I need you to register to vote, and if you do this more than once for me, I get paid. So they tell the person, fill out this card, register. I'm already registered to vote, the person tells them. Well, just do it anyway. There's no law against you doing it again, and I'll get paid. And that's all true. There is no law for a person robo-registering, even though they haven't moved or changed any of their personal information. And it creates a huge problem for boards of elections. Number one, it burns up thousands and thousands of dollars of labor hours at boards of elections across the state. It invites a lot of problems, and it gums up the system. And it short circuits, because we're kept so busy, it short circuits our ability to properly investigate questionable registrations as they come in, because many of these are questionable.
Well, and here's an instance that was reported in today's Family Research Council email. It says, in Ohio, Latella Goines, and you might know of this case, told a Post reporter, you can tell them you're registered as many times as you want. They do not care. They will follow you to the buses. They will follow you home. Another man in Cleveland says he was given cash and cigarettes by Acorn representatives for registering a whopping 72 times in the last year and a half. The fraud gets even worse in Texas, and so on. They go on talking about these incidences of voter fraud and voter registration.
And our experiences.
Well, wait, I want to ask this quickly before I forget it, Brian, because we'll go back after the break. It's a felony, a third-degree felony?
Registering is a fifth-degree felony.
Fifth-degree felony.
If you sign, most election law violations are fifth-degree felonies, and if you falsify a voter registration, it's a fifth-degree felony. But in these cases, they are hounding people, and we had testimony. We've subpoenaed a number of people into the Board of Elections. We've already referred well over 200 or 300 registrations this year. 4 years ago, we probably referred over 5,000 registration cards. And what happens is they do hound you. We've had people come in, complain to the Board of Elections that they had to take off a half day's work to come in and testify. So what we tell them, what we tell them is, you're here testifying and losing work while the person who hounded you to do this, that you did this for, got paid, and they're not here. See, Ohio had a law. The legislature passed a law a few years back that required people who do this type of work to take an online ethics course with the Secretary of State, record their name and their Social Security number, and so that we could cross-reference their work, whether it's on petitions or registration. There was a federal court that struck that down as unconstitutional. But for a while there, for about a year, things were a lot better because people knew that if they were going to do this bogus work, we could follow up and catch them. Right now, we have no method by which to get back as a Board of Elections. Now, the FBI might and the Justice Department might be able to track this back to the person who's doing the work. But as a Board of Elections, we have no method, really, by which we can investigate Acorn to find out who the specific person was. I believe the state should pass a law that if you're an agency that's doing this, you are as culpable as the employee who does the work. We've got to find a way to make the agencies that are paying these workers culpable for the criminal violations, because then if the officers of those corporations, and these are not-for-profit corporations, but nonetheless, if the officers of those corporations had to look jail time in the face, they'd probably be a little bit more serious about doing quality work.
And let's talk about that, but let's go to Big D in Dublin, joining us here on Bob Burney Live. Your comment on Acorn.
Hey, I've run into several of these carpetbaggers coming in from other states, and they're specifically targeting lower income areas, and I think those specifically vote Democratic, but you know, they're certainly focused, they're certainly motivated, and obviously if they're getting a buck on the side, that just helps the cause. But why can't there be legislation? And I don't know how these groups were able to do what they're allowed to do. I guess in theory, it's a good thing, but if you've got this much corruption, which at the end of the day kind of terminates the whole point and integrity of why we, you know, why we do vote, why can't there be legislation that's passed to eliminate this type of these types of groups? Because if somebody wants to vote, they ought to be motivated to go do what they need to do to vote instead of being enrolled and so forth.
That's a good point. Brian, your thoughts?
Well, this all gets back to the 1992 Motor Voter Bill, when the federal government got involved and said people should be able to register to vote by filling out a form and mailing it into the Board of Elections or dropping it off and not having to go through any sort of deputy clerk or deputy registrar. And what that did was that created an avenue for these third-party do-gooder groups who are, you are correct, they do target the profile of voter that they want to start to register to vote. But they go out, they register them to vote, and they submit them. Boards of Elections have to take them, and there's no accountability because we don't see the person who's doing the work. Prior to that, in Ohio, you had to, your registration cards, if you were going to use them, they were numbered. They were issued by the Board of Elections. You came down, you'd say, I need 50 cards. You got 50 cards, you signed out that number, and if there was ever a problem with any one of those 50 cards, the Board of Elections knew who to call.
That anymore, Brian? Why isn't that done anymore?
The motor voter law overwrote that. Basically, it made that state law illegal or obsolete
now,
because people had to be able to register to vote online. When Washington stuck its nose into it, state election laws got short-circuited.
Well, let's hold it right there. Brian, we're going to come back after this break, but that's a great point about motor voter laws and how that has created an atmosphere for fraud, and that's what we're dealing with in Ohio, and it sounds to me that the listeners of this program want to find out more information how they can participate and rein it in, and let's all observe in this election so we can have a fair and balanced election. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Read the Bible online at WRFD.com. You pick the translation, highlight your favorite verses, keep your own notes. Just click on the Bible Study Tools link at WRFD.com.
This is Chris Long with the Ohio Christian Alliance filling in for Bob this afternoon. I want to let those of you in the greater Zanesville area know that voter guides are available for distribution. I know that this program is heard in the greater Zanesville area. Let me give you the address there. It's the Worship Center at 3130 East Pike in Zanesville. And you contact Susan. Give her a call at 740-455-3623. You can also go to our website, and you'll find out that information. Again, that's contact Susan. This is in the Zanesville area if you need voter guides over there. 740-455-3623. With us on the phone is Brian Williams from the Summit County Board of Election, and we're talking about voter fraud. And Joe is with us on the phone, and let's go to Joe. Joe, welcome to Bob Burney Live.
Hi. You know, I think that, you know, it, you know, right now it's, you know, to us, it doesn't feel fair that this is happening. But I think that that's, you know, I think that we're part of the problem, though, because, and I say we, I mean as conservatives, not necessarily conservative Christians, but just conservatives, because certainly with Blackwell, I could see how others would feel it was not fair to have enough voting booths or to feel, you know, there was a question about whether the Diebold machines could be scrutinized and double-checked. And so now I think what's happening is kind of a backlash effect, and that's why I think that it's important that, you know, we as Christians always put ourselves forward as being fair and honest, and so that we don't continue to get this seesaw effect. And I think, like, right now, too, I think that what would be fair and honest of Christians would be to go out and to, you know, and to have participated in getting people registered to vote, and not just going to those areas that we feel have Republicans that we can sign up, but all areas, and then, you know, and then there would be a check and balance there and make it fair. So I think we're a bit complicit in all of this.
Well, I take issue a little bit, Joe, what you're talking about, because I followed very closely what took place in 2004. And our phones call, we're actually on the front lines in our organization, the Ohio Christian Alliance. We got calls across the state that day, people asking about, voting procedures and all that. I had one guy call from a heavily Democratic district. He happened to be a conservative. He said, this is my first time voting. They actually gave me 3 IBM cards. That's right. They gave him 3 ballots. And he says, is that normal? I said, well, no, it's not. Well, here to find out, it was a heavily Democratic district. That, in my opinion, now that could have been a mistake where the IBM cards, they stick together or whatever. But how do we know that that wasn't done purposely? Wait a second. Multiply the votes in that district. Now, there was a number of instances in 04 that we didn't bring up, but what was done in 04, we heard the allegations of long lines and things like that. Well, listen, you can wait to vote. I waited to vote, and I voted on Election Day. But the thing about it is everyone who wanted to vote could vote. And
that's not true, because at that time, there were parts, heavily Democratic, unfortunately, heavy minority areas, where there were not enough machines. And, and you say, well, you can wait online to vote. That's not true. If you're working and you've got to be at work, or you're trying to get there in between jobs or in between family obligations, you don't have time to wait 2.5 hours in line, which was what was happening in Columbus on that day. So, again, I think that we need to be honest with ourselves and fair and represent all of mankind and not just our own special interests. So, I think your point about bringing up stuff about the triple cards, I think that goes to my point that there's fault on both sides, and that's where we need to step up and look to see what can we do to make this fair for all people, not just fair for Republican districts, not just fair for our interests, but fair for all people. Because without a fair democracy, then the American experiment is a farce.
I agree with that, Joe. And listen, those are good comments. Thank you for weighing in this afternoon and calling in. Brian, you had a comment.
Yeah, I do. I think he makes a good point. And that's why we have to look and learn and make changes according to our experiences in the future. One of the things that was done, one of the law changes made since that experience in 2004, is to require each of Ohio's 88 boards of elections to vote in a public meeting on the allocation of election equipment. In Summit County, we always allocated our equipment based on the number of registered voters. So it was even, regardless of where you live. If you had a lot of registered voters in your precinct, you got a little bit extra equipment. If you had less, you got less equipment. So it was evenly apportioned. But now, as a result of that, because some counties weren't doing it that way, they now, in the era of transparency, must vote in a public meeting how they're allocating equipment so it can be reviewed by the public. And that has helped in those counties, and will continue to help. With regard to the voter registration, there are a number of groups, Democrat, Republican, the League of Women Voters, all sorts of groups that are out there running nonpartisan and partisan voter registration efforts, and nobody quibbles with the efficacy of their methods. This issue with ACORN, which existed in 2004, that the legislature responded to, but the court struck down their method of curing the problem, continues to be a problem here in 2008, and it's not a partisan issue back and forth. It's a process issue that everybody, Democrats and Republicans, mostly Republicans, but including Democrats, have identified that there are efficacy problems and honesty problems with the way in which they're conducting their drives. They need to be looked at, not only legally now, but in terms of legislatively for the future.
Brian, I think that's great, great thought there and great points that you've brought up, and that's what we're getting to this afternoon. We're talking about the election process. We're talking about the voter fraud that's been found out here in Ohio and across the nation by ACORN and other groups and by individuals, and we're hope that you're enjoying this broadcast this afternoon. You're listening to Bob Burney Live. I'm your guest host, Chris Long. We're going to be back just after these messages. We're going to go to Chris, the north side of Columbus, taking his thoughts today.
When you think James Dobson, think WRFD. Focus on the Family, weekdays at 9:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. on The Word, 880 WRFD.
We're back, and we have a few minutes before the top of the hour. We want to go right to Chris from the north side of Columbus, talking with Brian Williams from the Summit County Board of Elections. Chris, what is your thoughts today about voter fraud?
Let's say the public, God bless you, sir. First of all, I'd like to fire from the hip on one point. And I'm saying it early enough, certain individuals like Charles and Brian, if he hasn't called in, certain other folks could go ahead and call in about this. Quite a bit, correct me if I'm wrong, the voter machine allocation was based on prior years. Am I correct on that?
Well, that varied from board to board. Some places tried to allocate equipment based on past turnout, the volume of votes they got in certain precincts. Others based it entirely on voter registration totals.
And many of those precincts where the predominant party was in charge was generally in charge of the allocation, correct?
Well, no. At no board of elections is any party in charge.
Well, I'm talking about the allocation of voting machines, because from what I understand, quite a few Democratic boards where Democrats were basically strong on that were allocating where the machines would go.
Well, it shouldn't work that way. At every board of elections, you have two Democrat board members and two Republicans, so nobody is in charge. You have both parties. They have half of the authority. Nobody has more authority than others, and they have to make that decision by consensus.
Okay, so the consensus was there that if there were not enough, the Democrats could have objected then.
Yes.
Okay, one of the situations I'm seeing is many people have accused Mr. Blackwell of basically being a liar and a thief, that he lied about the election and he stole the election for Bush. So basically now, we're to understand today, the end justifies the means and moral equivalency. Could it be that some people are considering this all right to associate with someone like Barack Obama, who is a known teller of untruths, and who has also been proven to associate with proven election stealers? I'd like to just throw that out there first. And second thing I'd like to also address, when it comes to fairness of election, my wife and I were there on election day, and I'm not the only one, but I know what I saw with my own eyes. I saw a lady with a carry button against the law.
Real quick, Chris, because we've got to go to a break.
Kind of organizing people. I was not approached by the exit pollers when others were. I heard some of the stuff that was being spewed. That was a bloody lie, gentlemen.
Chris, as always, thank you for weighing in this afternoon. Brian, thank you so much for being my guest this afternoon, and it's been very educational. Again, Brian Williams from the Summit County Board of Elections. We'll be right back after these messages with Dr. Jerry Corsi calling in here to Bob Burney Live.
Bob Burney Live is sponsored in part by Mount Vernon Nazarene University. Local is good. Classes are forming now at a campus nearby, so call 800-839-2355. Online, it's AGS.